Kirk, we might as well start with the elephant in the room. Everyone is talking about budget cuts out of the legislature. Where do we stand here at Kansas State University, and do you expect any changes before the session ends?
Absolutely. It's been a wild session so far, and I was just a little bit late because I was talking to one of our senators as we speak about what's happening with higher education budgets. We think that after all is said and done, what we're going to do is come out with a flat budget, the governor's recommendation, and probably funding for a project on campus, which includes the renovation of Seton Complex. So I never worry too much one way or the other about the legislature until the final bill is sent to the governor, because, you know, I've gone from highs to lows all within a 12-hour period before. And I just would remind everybody out there as they see things and read things that there's still some cuts that are being talked about and pending on the table. But the legislature so far has not addressed their elephant in the room, which is revenue. And so regardless of what the cuts or no cuts look like at this particular point, until they really get serious about how you're going to close the $600 million revenue gap, it's all sort of tentative. But I still think we're going to come out of this okay.
How does this impact then how you move forward in your budgeting process?
Absolutely. We have the University Budget Advisory Committee on our campus, which is our campus leaders. It's our students, our faculty senate, university support staff president, some deans, you know, just a variety of who we would term representatives of campus leadership. They'll continue to kind of look at things, and where we're going to move our focus now over the next 6 weeks is to what we're going to do with tuition and fees. And we have a student committee that, just like his for each of my 6 years as president, will look at that and they'll make a recommendation on where those tuition and fees increases ought to be. There certainly will be a proposed increase. What the order of magnitude is on that, we don't know yet, because it's a little bit of a chicken and egg, right? If the state stays flat where it is, you know, we're probably looking at somewhere on the 5% kind of a range. If, however, the state has a cut, a significant cut of some nature, that could certainly change that. So we do a lot of planning, but a lot of stuff isn't solidified until the legislature's done.
Does that also then impact the amount of money you have for scholarships and tuition assistance?
Absolutely. And we've talked about that one of the things that we always try and do is take some percentage of the money that comes in for fees or tuition increase and put it in need-based financial aid. So there's just some families that can afford when we bump our tuition and fees. They can handle it financially. There's others that are right on the margin, and any change whatsoever represents the difference between not being able to come back to the fall semester and coming based on what that is. So we always make sure we put some aside for need-based financial aid. And we've increased our financial aid to students every year. And we've done that not just through taking a little piece of tuition that comes in, but also through private philanthropy. We've been very successful in raising money over the last 5 to 6 years, and a lot of that's gone into endowed scholarships. So we've been able to, again, help more of our students with some private donations as well.
The tuition is probably the largest impact, but fees can also add up. Are those from the university level, or are those from each individual college?
Generally speaking, it's each individual college. We've done very, very few university total fees since I've been here. There have been a lot more college fees. And we're considering, several colleges have brought some forward, and our students talk about those and they go over it, and we'll figure out whether they'll advance them with a positive recommendation or not. And so I would say each year we have a couple fees that move forward with positive recommendation. There's some fees too that the students will say, I'm not sure we're ready for that or that's appropriate. One of the positives about fees is that for the college level, our students are involved and engaged in where those money is spent. So it's not a blank check. Sometimes people look and say, well, Kirk, man, you got X millions of dollars coming in undesignated that you can do. Well, the answer is that's not really ever the case. So when we take a tuition proposal to the Board of Regents, we say we're going to get $10 million. We'll say this is exactly where this $10 million is going to be spent. This amount in faculty and staff salaries, this amount in student financial aid is never discretionary. And the same with the student fees. What happens is one of the things that we do is we tell each of the deans, if you have a student fee in engineering, the engineering students got to be involved and engaged in where that money goes and the accountability of how that money's spent. And I think that's one of the reasons that sometimes these have gone well is because the students go, you know what, I'm paying more, but I get more faculty, I get better compensated faculty, I get this lab renovations, whatever it is, and they could point directly to it, and it's not going to Anderson Hall and being lost in the big university budget. It's directly impacting them in their colleges.
I also want to talk about research and extension a little bit. How do they fit into the picture, and what kind of cuts might they be facing? And it's a little bit more difficult to make up the dollars in that area.
Yeah, we continue to support research and extension as much as possible. It's important for the state of Kansas. It's sometimes baffling to me when those kind of cuts are even being considered by the legislature. Agriculture, for one, is the most important economic driver in our state. Now, research and extension does a lot more than agriculture. They're in multiple colleges, and they influence a lot of other things in the state besides just ag. But still, it's sort of like your main source of income coming into the state treasury. We need that sector of our economy to be as robust as possible, and extension needs to be fully funded to do that. So we continue to really argue that very well. John Floros, our Dean of the College of Agriculture and Director of K-State Research and Extension, has done a great job of utilizing our extension agents out there and saying, call your legislators, make sure that you know that, hey, there's some proposals out there that it's going to cut us and impact our ability to meet the needs of the state. If we do see cuts in extension, generally we have to decide, are we going to take tuition dollars that are coming in and use those to help bolster extension? That's what we've done in the past because we feel extension's a part of us. And to me, K-State's like a body. You can't say, well, we're going to operate without one arm or something like that. You've got to have everything there. So when people go, well, you know, that's not what you ought to be doing, extension's part of Kansas State University and part of what we do for the state of Kansas, and we've got to keep it strong. So we're asking and utilizing our extension network out there legislatively to contact their legislators and make sure they understand the importance of extension in the state of Kansas.
And there are extension agents in every county.
There are.
So there's a local impact as well.
There's a local impact. They're in every county. And you know what? They're part of the fabric of a county. We may say, well, they may be a wheat grower, or a specialist in entomology or insect issues, those kinds of things. But when you go out there and you meet with them and find out they're local, they're serving on lots of local things in the community, they're an important part of community events, they're part of the fabric of the community, not just their subject matter experts. And so that's why it's important. We just don't want to all of a sudden see some extension office that used to have 10 people all of a sudden have 6. And everybody goes, well, what happened? Oh, well, we got a legislative cut. Well, we never knew anything about that. That's the important kind of conversations we want to have now while the legislature's in session to make sure that they understand and support the valuable role K-State Research and Extension plays in Kansas.
I want to touch just real quickly on 2025. We're in 2015. It seemed like a long time ago we had to meet these goals. Now we're at 10 years and under. Where do we stand?
Well, we've made excellent progress in some areas, and other progress has been flatter. So, for example, in our size of our endowment is one of the K-State 2025 major metrics. We have made huge positive progress nationally in our endowment, which is right now at about $500 million. And when we started 2025, it was less than $300 million. So there's some of those, if you look compared to our peers, we've raised more money than they have in their endowment during that same time. We've made great progress there. One of the areas, for example, that we have not maybe made the progress we would like to is in graduate education and our doctoral and master's students in that side of K-State. Our faculty and staff doing a great job mentoring students, but we have not been able to invest the financial resources we need to grow some of those programs to appropriately have stipend levels for our graduate students that are needed, some of these sort of things that allow people to recruit and get even better students coming here for graduate school. Overall, I think it's very positive, but it's been mixed in some areas. The other one that anybody who's back on campus, drives through Manhattan, can't help but see cranes everywhere. And certainly one of the areas that we've been successful with 2025 has been in changes to our physical plant. We had not really built new academic space for probably a decade here. And so a lot of this, we're playing catch up. So a lot of these new buildings and classrooms and laboratories and facilities have been needed for a long, long time. But there's a sense of excitement when you see cranes and construction work and all that. And our faculty and staff and students, I want walking by thinking, you know, I'm going to be in there sometime. And it's not going to be after I graduate. So we're just going to keep at it and have to acknowledge that some things are going to go better than others. But that's part of a comprehensive plan.